the last 20 minutes or so, just to get through a couple of other issues. Maybe we shouldn't, if you've read this. No, it would be nice to get a couple of things. We've got John, who's got a question. He's asking about the Greater Manchester Spatial Framework. If you don't know what that is...
Can we go back to transport?
This is the thorny question of where we're going to put tens of thousands of new homes. We should get an answer, I think it's the end of next month. But what's your question about
it? William Mr. Burnham. In the first GMSF draft, there was mostly Greenbelt allocated for development. With a rethink of this GSMF, how much reduction of the Greenbelt allocation are you looking to be in the second version?
Well, I did promise, going back to the mayoral election, a radical rewrite, and I can confirm that that is what we have been on with. It's a challenging process. I did say at the time that there still will be difficult decisions, and I couldn't promise to eradicate all Greenbelt use. I said we should try and aim to see if we can get to a position of no net loss, but I didn't, it's obviously always politicians have to make these kind of couched statements, because I didn't know, I hadn't seen the full picture at that point. I wasn't obviously in office at that point. But I did say in the campaign that, you know, we would have some difficult decisions. However, you know, I'm looking at a major reduction in the Greenbelt take, and that is what I'm on with achieving. At the same time, I've got to be clear that we need a plan for growth in Greater Manchester in terms of the number of our houses, the jobs that we're bringing in. And it's that balance that I'm trying to strike. But I'm trying to look you in the eyes as far as I can see you here and say, I am clear that there has to be a major reduction in the Greenbelt take. What I can't say to you tonight is that means there is no take, because, you know, that could damage the development and the growth ambitions of Greater Manchester. What I'm trying to do is get to the right point of balance, and Paul and I, again, this is something we're working on together.
Well, that's good, it's going the right way. But with the Office of National Statistics now saying that they need less housing in the country, particularly in this region, they've recalculated the figures, that will mean you could even release less of Greenbelt for building.
That's true. For those that, and Paul, come in by all means in a mo, but just to explain, they have revised some of their calculations recently, and that, as you say, has kind of taken the figure down. However, the government is saying it's going to bring forward a new methodology, as they describe it, to add to those figures, and we've been reliably told that the number's going to go back up. So when we get to a position where the plan gets challenged, because it can get challenged from two ways, by the way. It can get challenged from, let's say, Greenbelt campaigners on the one hand, or the planning industry, the development industry on the other. You have to kind of give cognizance to that government target wherever it comes out. So, you know, we're in the middle of all of that, to be honest with you, at the moment. We also have been told by the government that they want us to build above need to get access to what they call the housing deal, which unlocks funding for brownfield land cleanup. So it's a very complicated picture is all I can say, and we're trying to work through it as best we can with the overall discipline of reducing the Greenbelt take.
Well, thank you from the residents.
Okay. Paul, if you want to just add a comment.
No, just on the ONS's data set and obviously the latest subnational housing projections. The latest methodology that the ONS used was taken over two census periods. And what you'll find from the methodology is in the middle of those two census periods, we had the economic crash in 2007 and 8, where house building and the construction industry actually came to a standstill. When you actually extrapolate those figures and look at somewhere like Cambridge, for example, Cambridge are being told at the moment that they need to demolish 8 homes a year to actually meet what's coming out of the subnational housing projections. So they are only projections, what's coming out of the ONS. What Andy said, and he's right, we're in this waiting period now where government are going to consult yet again on their objectively assessed housing need or their local housing need. And it's that number that'll be binding for the 10 districts of Greater Manchester. So we're doing all we can to absolutely do what Andy said, which is reduce the Greenbelt take. We're doing that through lots of different mechanisms. So Andy's Town Centre Challenge, for example, is all about building more homes in our town centres, doing urban density. We're taking very much an infrastructure-led approach to how we build homes. And obviously some of the money that we've got from government recently through marginal viability allocations and housing infrastructure allocations is all about trying to do infrastructure-led development within Greater Manchester. To date, we've been working to a figure of building 211,000 homes over the period of the spatial framework, which is a 20-year period. All of this is now up in the air because of obviously the population projections, the housing projections, and now we're waiting yet again for the government's consultation on the local housing needs again. You know, it was only in March of this year did we actually get a formal response from the government to the last consultation that they ran. So as you can see, this is absolutely farcical from a kind of strategic planning point of view, because literally, you know, it's shifting sands all the time. We want to do a robust approach to strategic planning within Greater Manchester, and we'll do all we can to protect the Greenbelt within Greater Manchester, but we will have to meet housing need, because the worst of all of this is doing house building or planning through appeal. That costs local authorities an absolute fortune in legal costs, and I don't think any of us want to be in that position where we're paying out significant sums of money challenging planning application after planning application because we haven't got a five-year land supply to meet our housing need. No one wants to be in that predicament, and we're doing our best to obviously challenge the government around some of this, but also make sure we've got a strategic plan for houses, but also for economic growth within Greater Manchester.
I think there's a comment from the lady just in the jacket there.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to... Can you hear me?
Yep, I just
wanted to clarify, GMCA have agreed to build 227,000 houses with government. Is that figure going to stand? That was from a release that I saw from Paul Dennett that was released in June this year from GMCA.
From my point, no is the answer to that from my point of view, because you know that is now way above the projection that the gentleman referred to,
yeah.
And we don't believe that what we're being offered is quite as it was presented at the time. So as far as I'm concerned, no, that figure is gone.
Do we have a rough idea of how many it's going to come down by?
Ballpark
figure.
It's really, for all the reasons Paul gave, you know, we've been left in the lurch a bit, really, because, you know, we were working through this process in good faith, and all of a sudden the kind of goalposts were moved again with the government saying we're going to have a new methodology. We actually think it is to kind of bump the figure up, but we don't know. So we're kind of in a position here where we're, you know, we don't want to wait forever. As Paul said, we need a plan. I think it's really important for me just to stress that point. Without a plan, your green belt's at more risk. So we need a plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to get this together. We've got to, the quicker we do it, the better. So, you know, we're all in that position.
Yeah.
But if we come up with, if we go too early with a figure that then is nowhere near what the government comes up with, the plan that we come up with could be at risk of challenge. You see what I mean? We're really in, it's a really impossibly difficult situation. But, yeah. You know...
Is there an ETA on the next edition of the spatial framework?
It's linked to what we get, the intelligence we're going to get out of the government as to what progress they're making on their formula. If it's not going to appear anytime soon, we're going to go with our best judgment about where we should be building.
Yeah.
If they say it's coming in November, it would be odd for us to go out and then all of a sudden this figure lands. That, you know, so it's a, I'm sorry, you know, it's a, it makes Brexit look easy, to be honest with you. So.
The last time you spoke about that was it was end of November. Is that still the target, or has that moved? Or
no? I think we would still like to aim towards that, but it's some of this is out of our gift, because, you know, if all of a sudden out of nowhere this new formula was to land, then obviously we couldn't publish a plan that hadn't, you know, given any, as I said. So it is linked to the government's plans, and we need well, we're going to discuss this tomorrow, aren't we, Paul? And there's going to be latest intelligence from the government about where they're up to with their formula. They are otherwise engaged on other issues. So whether it's going to appear anytime soon, I honestly don't know. But what I can assure people is if it's going to take a long time, we are going to come out and say, no, we're coming back with a plan, which is our best guess of what Greater Manchester needs. So I know it sounds, it's a very messy situation. I can't put a better gloss on it than that, I'm afraid.